Welcome to Postcast. David Locke along with Ron Boone is the Utah Jazz.
Hey, happy holidays, guys.
Fall 109-100 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron James, 29 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. The headliner for Cleveland, the Jazz headliner, 26 for Donovan Mitchell. Great three-point shooting from the Jazz, 17 of 34 on the night. And Ron, overall, the Jazz really impressively stayed in this game without Gobert, without Favors, shorthanded, undermanned, and changed kind of the way they played a little bit. Not as much pick and roll, not as much dribble handoff because you knew the Cavaliers were going to switch everything and were able to attack and get good looks.
But whenever they were able to do that, they did get some very good looks. Fortunately enough, the Jazz three-point shots, I thought, kept them in the ballgame here tonight. I thought rebounding was going to be something that they could really take advantage of, but it was just the opposite tonight, as the Cavaliers did out-rebound the Jazz. But the Jazz had 11 offensive rebounds, and that's one of the things I was looking at because the Cavaliers are undersized. But what they do have is the ability to switch all over the floor.
You know, let's talk about the three-point shooting for a second, because with Gobert out for another period of time, it does strike me that this is how the Jazz have to play. There's two things that strike me. One is the Jazz come into this game as the third-best three-point shooting team in the league. It's a bunch of different guys that are really good shooters. Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Rodney Hood, Royce O'Neal went 4-for-5 tonight. Tabo's a decent shooter. Jonas has been a good shooter. You've got a lot of different guys who can shoot it. You're without Gobert for a while, and you probably need to be a team that shoots 40 to 45% of your shots as threes, and the nights they go in, you're not going to get beat very often unless you're playing a team as good as Cleveland, and if you have an off night, probably going to be a little tough for you, but I don't know how else they're going to play offensively for the next period of time.
And they stress the threes. They work at getting three-point shots, and their offense dictates that. So I expect for the Jazz to always be in ball games because of that. Now, with Epe in the ball game, a little worried about whether or not or how the Cavaliers are going to play the Jazz and were they going to be able to get uncontested three-point shots off, because Epe is definitely, you know, he's not a threat. Sort of like Rudy with his back to the basket, that type of thing. But you can see the Jazz able to get up 34 three-point shots, and David, that's what's going to keep them in ball games here this year.
Epe Udoh plays 33 minutes tonight. What a turnaround.
That is a high. That is definitely a high.
And it's probably the first time he started in quite – I probably should have checked. I don't think he started a game since Milwaukee, maybe since Golden State. He ends up with 6 blocks, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and he ends up plus 1 tonight. Like, when he was on the floor, the Jazz actually outscored the Cavaliers. When Jerebko was in at center in those 15 minutes, it was minus 10. You made a great point on the broadcast about how hard it is for Jerebko to suddenly play a position of such a center he hasn't played. But what are you seeing out of Udoh, and what a cool story.
Well, he rebounds well, and I think he moves his feet. He's a very good defensive player. And surprisingly, he has long arms. And so I've watched him block shots. He doesn't get that high off the ground, but his timing's good, and those arms are so long that he's able to, you know, come up with some blocks. Is he a smart player? I think he is, and it's probably what's going to keep him in the league, you know, for quite some time.
6 blocks and 3 steals. You don't get a combination of 9 on that very often.
Yeah, what I think what we're going to see out of him against Capello, who runs the floor very well. Epe's not that fast, and he plays a lot bigger around the rim. So hopefully he can hold his own against him and stay out of foul trouble. But you saw what he was able to do with a 6'9" Kevin Love or
LeBron came at him a few times. He blocked his shot, I think, once or twice.
You know, and surprisingly, I think he does surprise a few people the way he plays around the basket.
Defensively, the Jazz had to switch. LeBron ended up with Donovan Mitchell on him an awful lot. He took him to the basket time and time again. LeBron was unreal while, frankly, coasting through the game. Donovan Mitchell was pretty darn good as well. 11 of 16 from the field, and I think 2 of those were shot clock shots. At least one of them was. 26 points. After the game, he did have a moment with LeBron. where LeBron had a message for him. Did you have that moment in your career, Ron, where some older player came over to you? Is that much newer to this generation?
No, I started in the ABA, and so most of those guys I was playing with in the ABA were startup guys there as well. I played for a guy named Cliff Hagan, a Hall of Famer, you know, played for the Atlanta Hawks, the Cincinnati Royals back in the day, and no one had any words like that for me. So but I saw LeBron give Lonzo Ball words of encouragement the other night after the ball game. As a matter of fact, I think ESPN made a big deal of it because LeBron covered his mouth while he's talking to Lonzo to make sure that the media and cameras didn't pick up what he was trying to say.
He did that to make sure the media would talk about what he said, because he's aware of all the rumors about him going to L.A.
You're
going to
go the other way, huh?
Well, I don't have any doubt on that one. I think LeBron knows what he's doing. What do you think that was like for Donovan to have that moment after the game where LeBron...
That's something that I did experience, though, in my playing days. You know, when you get a chance to play, got a chance to play against Wilt Chamberlain, someone that you had watched on TV and you know, got excited about watching what he was able to do. And guys like Jerry West and you know, those kind of guys, and then to get a chance to play against them. First of all, there's a measuring stick because you want to see how good you really are. But then you're at all at what they're able to do and how easy the ball game was for them. And, you know, you pick up little things, and I'm sure Donovan picks up some things here from LeBron. And he's very good at putting it into his game there as well.
Donovan had 26 tonight. That's what he's averaging in the month of December. He shot the ball very well. He even had a play on the left side where he took it by LeBron and laid it up and in, which has to be a huge thrill. What did you think of Donovan tonight?
I love the way he lets the game – I mean, he works at making the game better for himself out there on the floor. I pointed out how he comes on strong in the second half. It's like he's working at being better – as the game goes along, gets stronger, you know, at being a strong finisher. I think one thing he's going to have to improve on, I'm sure Johnny Bryant and the coaching staff are going to talk to him about splitting those defenders, because he's getting that picked off. And he's trying to split the defenders sometimes when they're just entirely just way too close. I saw him try to go behind his back between two defenders. That's never going to work. So I'm sure the coaching staff, Johnny Bryant in particular, will help him along with that.
Jazz fall 109-100. Let's wrap this up by talking about LeBron. It's, frankly, I just feel honored and privileged to get to do it. I've been in the leagues for a lot less than you have. I broke in the league as a professional in 93, so I got the last bit of Jordan. I've had every moment of LeBron. You can attest to the fact that I watch him as often as I possibly can on the plane. I just think it's incredibly special. And I thought he coasted tonight, having watched him as much as I have. But he coasted tonight and took over the game at the end of the third quarter when he had to, and then kept the Jazz at arm's length in the fourth quarter when he had to.
It just shows how confident he is of his game and how he knows he's head and shoulders above the rest of the field, and he can get and do what he wants out there on the floor. I've watched him quite a bit there as well, David. And like I said during the air, when they need scoring and when he needs to make some things happen, he'll go down in the paint. He'll use his body to get down in the paint and to make sure he's getting a high percentage shot or getting to the free throw line. He just knows how to play. And that triple-double tonight looked as easy. It's probably the easiest one. Maybe it's not the easiest one he's had all year, but I just thought it just came easy. You know, he's just that good.
Cavaliers got some unusual stuff. Osman went 2 of 2 from three. Jeff Green went 3 of 3 from three. And that's really what the difference in the game was. Their bench, which has been okay this year and good during the win streak, or the now 17 of 18, was the difference. They were plus 18, plus 15. That's where the Jazz injuries kind of got them a little bit along the way. LeBron's passing to me, I still will hold this. I think of the all-time greatest passers in this league. And so you've got Stock and you've got Magic. And to me, since I've known the NBA, which starts really in 1980 or 82, so I will admit I'm ignorant to Bob Cousy and some of those, LeBron's probably the second or third best passer that I have ever seen.
You know, that would be something I'd really have to start thinking about, you know, in order to come up with a number. But he's definitely up there. I'm really excited and curious about this second greatest 50. players that, that might come out, you know, and how high he catapults himself.
Well, he's one.
Yeah.
Well,
I tell you,
he's one or two all time, I think.
If he's not one or two, you know, then we better start checking the voters.
Let me ask you. So, I can get into the Jordan-LeBron conversation. I heard the best way to just talk about it is if you had taken Jordan and put him on every other team, Nasulki and I used to always play this game, how many others would win the championship or win the conference? If you do that with LeBron, it's, you know, I think that Jordan, I think, was a notch above the rest of his competition that I'm not sure LeBron is. So that's the, like, when you think about, like, Jordan was the best player of that era by more over Carl, Akeem, Robinson, Barkley, than LeBron maybe is against the collection of guys beneath him. Maybe not. I mean, Akeem was pretty close to Jordan. And he's probably the second best player of that era. I don't know. That's the kind of, that's where I hedge, and I would go Michael over LeBron. But boy, I tell you what, if he goes to an 8th straight final, it's something else.
Yeah, that's an argument that you can get into a room with a group of guys, and I don't think everyone will agree on whether Michael or LeBron or maybe Kobe and you can throw in Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Well,
who's your pre-80 guy that you would put into that conversation?
Pre-80 would be Kareem.
So over Wilt, over Bill Russell.
I played with Kareem. Bill Russell was a great player. I mean, defensive player, more defense than offense. Kareem, I thought, had all the tools. You know, and I'd argue with anybody about putting Kareem there.
Would you put Kareem above LeBron?
Woo! They play two different positions. I'm going to leave it like that. I mean, I'd take Kareem on my team any day as the first pick. Now, LeBron.
Unless LeBron's in that draft, and then you're not sure. I think the final one on LeBron in this discussion, I love this discussion, is the size.
Yes.
That's.
Not only size, David, speed and power. I mean, he's got everything. I meant to mention this during the air. Would you have liked to seen him play tight end? What was it, in high school? Was it a wide receiver or tight end?
I think it was a tight end.
It was a tight end. I would love to have seen some footage of him playing, you know, that position. Because as big as he is, as fast as he has a great set of hands, he probably could have played in the NFL.
I mean, other than the fact that his brain then would have been mush. I actually would like to see him play defensive end.
That would be a position that he could easily play.
I mean, he would dominate.
He would dominate, absolutely. He's just that great of an athlete. And again, I know we've talked about him a lot, and you're not surprised the way he takes care of himself that he's playing at this level 15 years into the league.
The fact that he's better this year than he's ever been.
It's like he's dedicated himself to be better. It's like I know I have to be 10 times or 5 times better than I was last year because of. And I'm sure he has a reason for it.
Kyrie not being a part of the MVP conversation, trying to beat the – right? Yeah. I got it. Like, you know, the other one on this, the last thing I would add on this is I always thought he'd have a great longevity of his career because I thought he'd turn into Karl Malone. At his size, I thought he'd become a back-to-the-basket player in the second late stage of his career. The game changed and didn't let him do that. And so he's had to change his game to actually add skills to stay dominant, where I didn't think he was ever going to have to do that. That to me, is what wows me the most about him.
Yeah, I totally agree. A lot of players don't change with the times, and he has. Look at his career stats opposed to where his stats were last year and this year. And the reason he's shooting over 41% from the three-point line is because he's worked at it. And the reason he's shooting over 50% on the field because his shot selection now is way better than it's ever been. And the confidence level is definitely there. He knows he's head and shoulders above everyone in this league right now. And he just plays it that way.
That's a great point. That is Postcast. Thank you to Ron Boone. I'm David Locke, part of the Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.